Us, Shmini, we want to discuss the Bnei Aaron. This is a very perplexing parsha. Nadav Avihu died on the very day of Chanukas HaMishkan, as recorded in Vayikra Yud. Vayikhu Bnei Aaron Nadav Avihu Ish Machtaso Vayitnu Bayan Eish Vayasimu Aleh HaKtores Vayakrivu Lifnei Hashem Eish Zara, Asher Lo Tziva Osam, Vateitze Eish Milfnei Hashem, Vatochal Osam, Vayamusu Lifnei Hashem. And the Gemara Megillah tells us how they died. The Gemara, in Sanhedrin tells us how they died. This is on Dafnun Beis. Shnei Chutim Shal Eish Yatsu Mi Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim V'nechleku Li Arba. So we're talking about two strings of fire, two threads of fire that split into four. V'nichnesu shnayim b'chot moshal zev, v'shnayim b'chot moshal zev usrafum. And these chutei esh, two and two, to go into the nostrils of Nodav, two to Avihu, and that's how they were burnt and they died. Now we want to ask the following question on the Gemara. It's a simple question. Everyone should be asking it. Why is it that two chutim shel eish have to be divided into four? Why not four chutim from the beginning? What's this idea of two chutim divided into four? There seems to be some significance that two and then four. And there's an explanation in the Megala Mukos, who lived about 5 centuries ago. And he's medayik in the Lashon of the Torah. It says, Vateitze Eish Milfnei Hashem. And Hashem is Yudke Vovke in the Torah, which is Midas HaRachamim. Here's Yetze Eish, there's a Yotza Eish Milisrofosom, that would be Midas HaDin. That would be appropriate to Elokim. It should have said, Vateitze Eish Milfnei Elokim. And he adds the following point here to the entire history, to the entire story of the episode. If you fast forward to Dvarim, say for Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu in Perek Tes states, Ubi Aaron hisanaf Hashem mi'od lashmido, v'espalel gam ba'ad Aaron b'yeis ha'hi. Hashem is angry at Aaron, and Moshe Rabbeinu prays on behalf of Aaron, and it says, hisanaf Hashem mi'od lehashmido. So Rashi explains, lashmido, Zekilui banim. It means the loss of his children. Vespalal, Vespalel gam biad Aaron. Vehoilot filosi lechaper mechza, umesu shnayim v'nisharu shnayim. Rashi says that the tefillah of Moshe was effective halfway, so to speak, and instead of Hashem meeting out his wrath against Aaron in the total sense, it was only halfway. Instead of destroying Aaron's entire four children, Kili Bonim, instead Moshe Rabbeinu was successful, and there was a partial kapara. Only two of the sons of Aaron would die, and the other two would survive. And therefore, says the Megala Mukos, it's absolutely appropriate that the name of Hashem, Vateitzei Lifnei Hashem, Hashem is Yudke Vovke, because it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu transformed the Midas HaDin into Midas HaRachman, and therefore only two of Aaron's sons perished, instead of all four. And this could also explain, says the Megala Mukos, why is it that Yotza Shnei Chutim Shel Eish V'Nischal Kol Arba? This is a remez, the Arba, the number four, that in the original divine plan, four children of Aaron, all four would have been burnt, would have been destroyed. But in the Zchus of the Tefillah of Moshe, the powerful impact of Moshe's prayers, instead, those four Chutim just went into the two chotmim of the two brothers, kol echad meam, each one of them got two, and therefore the four went into the two, instead of four going into four. But we want to know, what exactly was the reason, the cause for the death of Aaron? The Gemara in Masechta Yoma tells us, It's also an Erevin. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Lo Mesu Bnei Aaron Ela Al Shahoru Halacha Bifnei Moshe Rabban. They had no right to paskin, to hand down a verdict in Halacha in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was their Rebbe. And the Gemara asks, how does Rabbi Eliezer know such a thing? What pasuk indicates that they were Mora Hora Bifnei Moshe Rabban? And at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, it says, V'nasnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen eish al ha-mizbeach. Af al pi, sha'eish yoredes min ha-shamayim, mitzvah lavio min ha-hedjot. This was the logic of the b'nei Aaron, of bringing this eish on the mizbeach, that even though the Eish will miraculously come down from the heavens, nevertheless, there's a mitzvah that we, the Hedjot, down here on earth, should make that process and bring the Eish and take the initiative. And Rashi says, V'yafal pishahoru karoi. That conclusion, that principle that was formulated by Nadav Aviu is correct. But nevertheless, Nenchu shalonatlu rishus. They didn't have the permission from Moshe Rabbeinu to hand down this verdict that the Kohanim have to bring the Eish. Rashi in our parsha here in Shmini again reiterates the same idea. Vateitze Eish. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Lo Mesu Bnei Aaron El Al Shahoru Halacha Bifnei Moshe Rabban. And the Maral in his Gurariye, in his super commentary, Rashi asks the obvious question. The Pasuk says that Nadav Aviu brought an Eish Zara, Asher Lo Tziva Osam. And now you're telling me that they derived the requirement to bring the Eish from a logical deduction which was absolutely correct. So why is it called an Eish Zara? And the Maral says that it's called an Eish Zara because since they brought that Eish by paskening, by being Mora HaRab Bifnei Moshe, which is not legitimate, that's why the Torah calls it an Eish Zara. Not because the Eish was, invalid, was possible, but rather the way that they decided and formulated this principle, this verdict, in the presence of Moshe without Rishus, that makes it into an Eish Zara, an Eish Zara. That's the Maral's embellishment of Rashi. Now, everybody has to understand that this punishment for what would certainly be a minor infraction, it's not a capital crime. Again, you know, you can pontificate and give drushes here about Mora HaRab Bifnei Rabo, and especially when you think about the fact that they were in a very important position. They were in charge of bringing the Karbonos, the Eish al Mizbeach, and they actually derived the correct halacha. So why did they deserve to die? There's no question you have to apply the super principle of the Gemara in Yevamos based on Pasuk in Tehillim, Svivav Nishara Me'od, Melamed Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Medagdik Im Svivav Kisut, Im Tzadikim Kichut Hasara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special high standard for Tzadikim. And this is a theme that we discussed on Tisha B'Av, if anybody remembers, when we were talking about the sins of Bnei Eli, which are mentioned in HaKalir's Piyut, in his Kino for Tisha B'Av. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a relative sliding scale as far as the judgment of sins are concerned. It's relative to the person on a higher level. He is taken to task for what would normally be a lot less than a serious sin for you and I, for a rank and file citizen. In any event, we have to now understand the following. The Mishnah tells us in Masechta Sota, B'mida sh'adam moded ba modedim lo. We have a principle called measure for measure. The punishment should fit the crime. Now in this case of Nadav Aviu, the Eish comes from the Kodesh Kadoshim, burns these two Kedoshim, these two holy people, the sons of Aaron, Nadav Aviu, because they were Mora HaRab Bifnei Rabo. Is there some sort of correlation here to understand why and how this is considered Midah Keneged Midah? So we'll put that question on the side. Hopefully we'll be able to come back to it later on. Let's take a look at Parshas Achrimos, and we'll try to understand in Vayikra Tetzayin what exactly is the cause of the death of Aaron. And then hopefully we'll be able to come back and explain the punishment as it fits the crime. The pasuk says, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe acharei Mos shnei bnei Aaron, bekarvasam lifnei Hashem vayomusu." And here's the famous Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. You remember Reb Chaim ben Atar lived about 5 centuries ago. He was in the city of Tzfat. His profound insights into Chumash really change our understanding of the Chumash. They're based to a large extent on the more mystical way of thinking. In any event, this Aruch Chaim in particular is quite famous. And his basic thesis, we'll see the details in a minute, is that Nodav Aviv, their nefesh left them because of Godel Dveikus, because they were, in a sense, too close to the higher realms of divinity. As the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Nafshi Yotzah B'Dabro. And here's what the Aruch Chaim says. Diber Hashem L'Moshe Derech Misasam. Hashem tells Moshe about the death of Nodav Aviv Shahoysa al Zeh HaOfen B'Karvasam L'Fnei Hashem. The key words here in this pasuk that we just read, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Achrei Mos B'nei Aaron B'Karvasam L'Fnei Hashem V'Yomusu. And B'Karvasam means they got too close to Hashem. When a tzaddik reaches that level of such closeness to the divinity, his body can no longer tolerate the neshama, or vice versa, but there's going to be a misa. That's called misas neshika. And we're all familiar with that term, misas neshika. So somehow God takes the nefesh in a very subtle kind of way, not a profound kind of brutal death, chas v'shalom. V'hine, heim shavim lemisas kol atzadikim. The manner in which Nadav Aviv died is the same as all tzaddikim. It's misas neshika. Elahefreshu, the only difference is that in the case of tzaddikim, haneshika miskareves lahem, in other words, Hashem comes close to the tzaddikim to take their nefesh, but ilu heim, in the case of Nadav Aviv, niskarvu lashem, they came forward towards Hashem. For husha omro, Bekarvasam lifnei Hashem. So in other words, when it says vayamusu, the vav is the Tosefis vav to allude to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes these lives out of chibas hatzadikim. An unbelievable concept. Again, the love of a tzaddik, Hashem's love for the tzaddik. And whatever they felt, you know, as they were getting too close to Hashem, they felt that coming close to Misa, nevertheless, that didn't inhibit them. What was totally on their minds and their goal, which they weren't willing to renege on or get inhibited about, was Kiruv Dveikus, to get closer and closer to Hashem. And here, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh waxes very poetic, and he says, Ne'imus, arevus, yedidus, chavivus, chashikus, mesikus. Let's count how many words here describe the dveikus. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. He has 7 different adjectives that describe the longing, the craving, the dveikus of Bnei Aaron in HaKadosh Baruch, like close nafsha mehem, until finally the nefesh had to leave the body. Ubechina zu ein makir echusa. We don't recognize, we can't appreciate the quality of that kind of an experience of ad kalos nafsham in this case. He mushleles hahakara. We cannot, it's mufka, it's excluded. We cannot possibly understand, appreciate, or relate to this kind of a misa. Lo mi pi minha enoshi velo mi pi ksavo. No human being could describe it, and no written work could describe it. There's no way you can understand it. if you would try to explain it, it's like teaching or describing color to a blind man. Falotusag Basharos Muskal Ageshem, in the concepts that come from the world that we live in, the Gashmi, the connection to the body and materialism, we cannot appreciate this spiritual divine level and the Misa, the Neshika of Nadav Avihu. But how do we reconcile this Orach Chaim with the Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk? It says that they brought an Eish Zara Shalot Tziva Osam. And as we saw in the Gemara in Erevin, Rabbi Eliezer says that Alma Mesu Bnei Aaron Al Shahoru Alocha Bifnei Moshe Raman. So we see clearly that there was a violation over here. So you're telling me it's Misas Neshika, Misas Tzadikim. If this Misa, as we see in the Pasuk, is an Onesh because Asher Lot Tziva Osam, how can you call Misa Tzadikim if it's a punishment? So we're left with two basic questions on this whole episode of Misa As Nodav Avihu. Question number one, if they were Mora Horob, if they Rabban, how is there a Mida Keneged Mida in their death? And question number two, how do we reconcile the Orach Chaim's approach that they died Misas Neshika, Misas Tzadikim, they had this intense desire for Dveikus and Hashem, and therefore Yatza Nishmasam. How do we reconcile that with a simple reading of the Pasuk, Eish Zara? They brought in Eish Zara, Shalot Tziva Osam. It's a punishment. We'll begin by taking a look in the Avodas Yisrael, which is quoted in the Shvilei Pinchas on the Pasuk in Bechukosai, Vayikra Chavav. It says, V'shalachti b'sochechem Vayisi lachem lelukim. And Rashi says the following, Atayel imachem began Eden ki echad mikem velotiu mizdazeim mimeni yachalotiru mimeni tamalomer vayisi lachem lelukim. And in order to understand this Rashi, Atayel imachem began Eden, we look at a Mishnah in the third parak of Avos, Rabbi Chanina Skana Koyinim Omer, Hevi Mispalel B'Shloma Shel Malchus She'el Mole Moro'a Ish Esreyeu Chaim Bla'o. Rabbi Chanina Skana Koyinim is telling us about something very high, very lofty, about the very tachlis, the very ultimate goal and purpose of the avoda of a Jewish man. And that is, and when I say Jewish man, I mean a Jewish person, Echad Miyisrael, that we should be Oved as Hashem bi Ava Tzuma, a tremendous love for Hashem. Rishpe Eish shall have his car, as it says in Shir Shirim. Until we get to the point that Migodol Ha'ava, because of that intense, profound love, V'atainug, and that spiritual pleasure of Dveikus B'Hashem, it's such a Dveikus Atzuma, it's such a powerful dveikus in God. As the Pasuk says, V'atem adveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. And as a result of this dveikus, if a person can reach this level of serving Hashem with such an intense ava, such a love, we have to understand that there is a built-in danger here. I'm a little bit afraid to present this idea, but there is a built-in sakana that perhaps because of the great tainug, a person could come to the point of kalosa nefesh, where the nefesh could no longer remain in the body. The body is a physical entity, and the dveikus in Hashem, in the makor hachayim, in the essence of life, creates almost like a tension, almost a confrontation, pulling one direction, pulling high, pulling low, down and up. Therefore, a person has to serve Hashem with a balance of Ava and Yira. And his heart and his being should be filled with fear and awe of Hashem, to stand in front of Hashem, who's the Melech Ram V'Nisa, the King of Kings, the Infinite God. And what's going to happen is that the Yira sort of checks the Ava, if you know what I mean. There's a tzimtzum in which the Yira restricts the Ava, because unbound Ava would mean kalos ha-nefesh. So why is it that the nefesh doesn't leave the body? Because of that synthesis between Ava and Yira. Ava alone, if it reaches its ultimate fruition, its ultimate pinnacle, would lead and end in kalos ha-nefesh. In order to maintain the integrity of the soul and the body as one living entity, we need to temper the Ava with Yira. And that's the thesis here of Rabbi Hanina Skan Kohanim when he says, Hevi mispal b'shloma shel malchus. It means shloma shel malchus shamayim. That's a whole new pshat that Shivim Panim LaTorah, that we're indicating in this mission of Rabbi Hanina Skan Kohanim. And the reference here is to malchus shamayim. What is the concept of Malchus Shamayim? That's what engenders or generates a sense of Yira, of fear, of the Malchus Shamayim, the kingship of heaven. So the Yira is Nimsheches, it comes down from the Malchus Shamayim. And if not for that Yira, if not for the pacha, the fear that we have in front of the king, Il Moli Mora, Ish Es Re'eu Chayim Blo, Ish is a remez to Hashem, Hashem Ish Melchama. Esrayehu is a remez to man who is serving Hashem with a Dveikus Hatzuma, with a Tanug, an unlimited Tanug. Chaim Blo. As a result of this Tanug and Dveikus, his Nefesh would separate from the Guf. That's called Chaim Blo. Il Mole Mora'o. If not for Mora Malchus, meaning the fear of Malchus Shamayim, the Yira and the Pacha that's going to tamper and control the Ava, because unlimited Ava, as we said, would be Il Mole Moro Ish Es Chayim Re'u Blo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to, in a sense, take the Nefesh out of the Guf. And that separation would mean death. And in Chassidus, in the Avodas Yisrael, for example, v'shalachti b'sochachem atayel imachem began eden kechad mikem v'lotiu mizdazim imenu, this pasuk of v'shalachti b'sochachem, referring to Hashem escorting a tzaddik in Gan Eden, is a reference to the Tainu Gan Hashemes b'dveikus nifla. This alludes to the incredible, almost infinite pleasure, spiritual pleasure of the dveikus of the neshama in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But yet Hashem promises velotiyu mizdazim imenu, there won't be that shake-up that we spoke about before, that migodol rishpeish tidovik nefesh laKadosh Baruch Hu. And you might think that this element of Dveikus is going to reach such a level that, you know, the body and the soul can't tolerate being in the body, etc. It's a Dveikus in infinite divinity. But lo tiyu mizdazim imenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that protection. And Rashi adds, yochol lo siru mimeni. But let's go back to the Rashi, which we saw earlier. Rashi says, the Rashi again, Yochel lo siru mimeni, Talmid lo v'yisi lachem le'lokim. So what is Rashi telling us over here? Klomar, kevon shelo siru mimeni, if you don't have this check and balances system of fear, tagiu l'spashtus agashmius v'tiu efes v'ayin. And the Avodas Yisrael says that the example of an occasion in which there was no balance of Yira, and therefore the Ava passes the red line, it reaches that ultimate ispashtus agashmius, where the soul has to leave the body and the man becomes Efes V'Yayin. That's what happens. Kinyan Shenemar, Benodav Aviyu, Bekarvosam, Lifnei Hashem, Vayamusu. Shehem kirvus atzmam yoser midai. They had unbridled ava. Vinishra nishmasam bimakoram kinoda. And their neshama was connected to the source. And therefore, it had to leave the body. And this is what Rashi says, Talmud Lomer, Vayisi lachem lelokim shetei avoda sayira mitzurefes lebchinas ha'ava letzamtzim osalag bila. That what Hashem is promising here in the rewards that God says v'salachtati v'sochachem at the beginning of B'chukosai is v'yisi lachem lelokim, that if you have that that element of yira, is then lo tiu mizdazim imenu, then you'll still survive. You won't get to the state of hispashtus agashmius with ava unbridled, unlimited. In other words, when the pasuk says v'salachti v'sochem v'yisi lachem lelokim, the Torah is saying that there's going to have to be an admixture here of the mitzvah of yira from the name Elohim, the name of God Elohim, which is Midas Adin, that engenders a Yira Shamayim, like Shlomo Melch says in Kohelis, Elohim asa sheyiru milafanov, and the emphasis here is on the name Elohim, and this element of Yira is a tzimtzum, is to limit and restrict the Ava, because as we said before, if there's unlimited Ava, then there's going to be kalos ha-nefesh. And the protection against that is the yira element. The yira element is so to speak, waters down the ava. Or maybe we could say it holds back the ava to some extent. And it leaves the nefesh inside the goof. What we really have to understand then is when Nodav Aviv, because of their Ava, according to the Avodah Yisrael, their endless Ava, their Kirvah Lefnei Hashem, therefore Yotzei Nishmasam, therefore they had to die, and the Midah of Yira, in the case of Nodav Aviv, to be Mitzamtzem, the Godel Ava, was not effective, what does that mean? Are we saying about these Tzaddikim, that they didn't have the Midah of Yira? I mean, the pasuk itself testifies, God himself testifies, Bekrovai Ekadesh. So we're saying here that somehow the midah of Yira is inoperative. How can we say that about the Krovim Tashem, about these Heilige souls, these holy souls, Nodav Aviv? Now, if we look at the Mishnah at the beginning actually, towards the end of the fourth parak of Avos, it says, "Shemora Rabcha Kimora Shamayim," and the Tan is equating here an analogy between the fear and the awe that one has to have for his Rebbe, and the fear of God. What is the intention here of the Mishnah in Avos? And perhaps we could say that just like a person has to serve Hashem, not only from the perspective of the Midah of Ava, but also from the Midah of Yira, which is going to restrict and limit the unbridled Ava, so that he could maintain the hybrid nature, you know, the connection and the synthesis between Guf and Neshama, because otherwise Godel Ha'av and Dveikus, as we said before, would lead to Kalos HaNefesh. A person has to be therefore very careful not to come too close. Meaning this Karvus here of Midas Ha'ava, if it's exaggerated, is very, very dangerous. That's what we spoke about earlier. So if we want to get to the position where Chas V'Shalom there wouldn't be a zilzal of the Midah of Yira, that Ava should not completely overshadow and overwhelm Yira, a person has to wear the garments of Yira. In other words, he has to emphasize the element of Yira. Don't go too close. You know, when you love someone, you want to come as close as possible. But there has to be an element of Yira that pulls you back out of an awe. You step aside and you're fearful. And that's the idea of Mora Shamayim. And that's a tzimtzum to contract and withdraw from the unlimited Ava so that the kirva shouldn't be too much. there's an exaggerated kirva that you come too close to Hashem. Imagine that. Halavai, we should have that challenge in life, that we come too close to Hashem. But this is really what it says in the Mishnah, over there in Avos, but in the second parak it says, "Havi mischamim kineged oron shel chachamim, v'havi zoyer bekachalosam shlo tichve." Don't come too close to the Talmud Chacham because you might get burnt. The flame of the Talmud Chacham is so intense. And Rabbi Yonah, who's the super commentary amongst the Rishonim on Avos, says the following: "Havi mischamim kineged oron shel chachamim kineged v'lo karov." You shouldn't get too close to the Talmud Chacham. Hevi zoya begachalosam shemetichve. Moshal, limischamim kinegida or. Im omad heimenu birocho koroilo nimtsa nene vienu nichve. But im karev yosemidai nimtsa nichve. You have a fire, a hot fire. You stand at a certain distance from the fire, you get benefits from its heat and its light. But if you get too close, you can get burnt. And in the Nimshal, Hamischamim Kineged Oram Shel Chachamim Venenami Chachmasam, Tzarch Lamod Lifneim Mitoch Yira, V'Yema V'Kovid Rosh. So if you maintain a distance from the Talmud Chacham, which is reflective of the Yira, the aim of the Kovid Rosh, the awe that you have for the Talmud Chacham, that's wonderful, and you'll gain tremendously from the awe of his Chachma. But Al Yanig Kalis Rosh Lifneim, Al Yiskarev Yosemidai, don't pat the Talmud Chacham on the back and say, "You're my best buddy over here." You give him a slap on the back. If you come too close to the Talmud Chacham, that's not good. That might engender a serious punishment, says Rabbi Yonah. And therefore, Keneged Velo Karov, you could get burnt if there's a certain element of zilzul and kalas rosh, in which your rabbi, your rebbe is like your buddy, and you joke around with him, you get very close, and you even get to the point where you, so to speak, push him around like you'd push around anyone else. I mean, that's already getting too close to a Talmud Chacham. There's got to be an element of distance. And that's the heavy zoyer begachalasam shelo tichve. If you get too close to a fire, chas v'shom, you could burn. And the Talmud Chacham represents and personifies the eish of Torah, the fire of Torah. Now let's look at the Bnei Yisoschar, who says the fine. Tziva Rabbeinu HaKadosh has beno, this is a Gemara at the end of Ksuvis, zavok mora b'talmidim. There should be a mora, there should be a fear in the hearts of the talmidim. Says Rabbeinu Yisoschar, the Bnei Yisoschar, he says, Shamati, he says, I heard from Menachem Mendel of Rivniv, She'ikar kibul halavana ma'or hachama hu birichkus kinoda v'chol mashem israchekes biyoseh tekabel yoseh me'ora kol mashem iskareves biyoseh ala mashpia yichhe me'ora yichhe. Kenu b'dimyon kabolas hatalmid mirav al yedeshi yisnayeg im rabo berechikus bechinas hayira yikabu meni yoser mechuyv lekabu moro b'yoser yikabu yoser. So here's a presentation, the essence of yira, of mora. Our relationship to the Talmud Chacham is symbolized by the metaphor of the relationship between the sun and the moon. The moon maintains its distance from the sun, and as a result of that distance, it receives the light from the sun, reflects that light. But if it would get too close to the sun, who knows, it would burn up. And here too, when you're talking about getting close to the Mashpia, to the Talmud Chacham, the Rav, who's trying to influence you and to uplift you, then it's a very dangerous situation. You have to have a certain richuk, a certain yira, a certain distance, and a certain awe. And to accept upon yourself as a Talmud that there will be this awe and this fear and this respect for a Talmud Chacham. Because if you get too close to the Talmud Chacham, yichhe mi'ora, the fire and the light of the Talmud Chacham is too powerful, and it could burn you. That's the danger of getting too close. And now we begin to understand Rabbi Eliezer, Lo Mesu Bnei Aaron Elal Yudei Shahoru Halacha Bifnei Moshe Rabban. It means the Torah, the halacha, prohibits a person from handing down a verdict, a ruling in halacha in the presence of his Rebbe without getting rishus. And why? Because there's got to be some sort of a demonstration, some sort of reflection of yira, of a fear of the kvod harav, of the great glory and the honor and the splendor of the Rebbe. And therefore, it would be ha'aza, it would be a chutzpah, instead of giving yiras hakavod to the Rebbe, but lahoros halacha befana, b'li rishus, you know, I'm gonna decide the rulings, I'm gonna tell you what to do, even in the presence of my Rebbe, forget about my Rebbe, so to speak. I mean, that's pogea in the very core of what's called Mora Rabcha, which should be Kamora Shamayim. And therefore, if Nadav Aviv were guilty of being Mora Hora, the halach that we mentioned before, the principle of Eish Min HaHedjot, and they said that and they ruled in that way in front of Moshe Rabbeinu in his presence, then it's pogame in their Kedusha, because their Kedusha has to be a Kedusha of Mora Rabbah, and they didn't come to the table with that Mora Rabbah. And if that's the case, when it says in the Mishnah, Mora Rabcha Kimora Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitmakpid that the Mora for a Rebbe should be like the Mora Shamayim, therefore, when they were pogame, that they violated the Mora Rabam concept, again, all relative to their greatness, then there's going to be a Mida Keneged Mida. They're going to be taken away from Shamayim, because at that moment, they don't have the Mora Rabam, and they don't have Mora Shamayim. Mora Rabam equals Mora Shamayim. And if they're not fear, if they don't have that fear and awe, and they can hand down a verdict, a ruling in the presence of their Rebbe without getting permission, then they don't have Mora Shamayim, because Mora Rabam equals Mora Shamayim. If they lost the Midah of Yira, which is, as we said before, functioning as a to bridle, to limit and be mitzamtzei the Ava, then Yotze Nishmasa. So in that sense, we can reconcile both the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh and the understanding of why this Eish that they brought is an Eish Zara. How could it be so? How can we say, on the one hand, as the Aruch Chaim presents it, it was a Misas Tzadikim, a Misas Neshika, because of that tremendous, endless Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then turn around and say, well, they brought an Eish Zara. They were guilty of a crime of being Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabo. But the answer is very simply, that yes, they're guilty of the crime being Mora Hora B'fnei Rabo, but why is that crime so terrible, and why does it lead and culminate in the death of Aaron, in the death of the B'nai Aaron? And the answer is because once they were pogame the Mora Rabam by being Mora Hora B'fnei Rabo, Mimela they were pogame in Mora Shamayim. And if there's no element of Mora to tamper the Av, the unbridled Av, and here we're introduced the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, then as a result it's going to be Kili on Nefesh. And perhaps we could go back to the Gemara that we started with and shed a new light on the Gemara. How did Nadav Aviv die? There were Shnei Chutim Shal Eish Yotzim Mibeis Kodesh Kadoshim Nechleku Liarba Nichnesu Shnayim Bechot Moshal Zev Chayim Vishnayim Bechot Moshal Zev Srafum. And according to what we saw from the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that Nadav Aviv died b'misas neshika, and that's what he emphasized, the pasuk b'karvasam lifnei Hashem vayamusu, is perhaps we can understand this concept of shnei chutim shaleish yatsu b'beis kodesh kadoshim and the death of Nadav Aviv. In the Maisa of the Snare, at the beginning of Sefer Shmos Parak Gimel, you remember that the Malach Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu. This Torah says, Mitoch Hasneh. Moshe Rabbeinu beholds a supernatural phenomenon in which the bush is burning, but Eino Ukal, it's not consumed. So Moshe says, let me go close and see what's going on. Amara Golazeh, I want to know what Madua Lo Yivar Aseh. Moshe is very curious. But when Hashem sees what's going on, and Moshe Rabbeinu is getting close to the burning bush, Vayar Hashem kisar liros, Vayikra Elokim, Vayikra Elov Elokim itoch hasneh, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe v'yaminen, Vayomer, al tikrov alav. Don't get too close. Shal na'al chamei araglecha, take your shoes off. Hamokom asher ata omed alav, ad maskodeshi. And basically what happens is that Moshe is being... I don't know what word to use, but Hashem is inhibiting Moshe from coming too close. Al tikrov halom. Halom. Don't get too close. And this may be the idea that we mentioned before in the Avodas HaMelech of getting too close. So that we have, in a sense, a parallel here between Hashem warning Moshe in the case of the snare and Nadav Aviu, who came too close. Now, in the Maisa Sneh, we have this problem here. Moshe Rabbeinu asks the question, Madua lo yivar sneh? Why is it that the sneh is not going up in flames? It's not being consumed. What was the answer? What was the response of Hashem to that question? We don't find a response. But the Medrash says, Kisha hodia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Shehu Hu Zesh and Isgala Eilav B'Eish Mitoch HaSneh Romans Lo B'Kach Tshuva Al Shei Loso Ki Ha'Eish Al Mailo Kach Darko Shei Me'ira V'Eino Mechala Es HaChefetz Shei Nechezes Bo. Moshe Rabbeinu has to understand that there are two forms of Eish, two categories or qualities of Eish. There is an Eish HaMechala that destroys the chefetz, and then there's an eish of shamayim. And what Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu here is that eish that you see in the sneh, that's not a regular eish, that's an eish min shamayim. And an eish min shalmala just gives light, it doesn't destroy. We find in Tosfos and Chagiga Chav Zayin, in the name of the Medrash Tanchuma, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to make the Mizbeach Atzei Shittim, and litzaposo benechoshes, cover it with copper, kidei lahakriv olav karbonos, is tamal kach. Tosa says, I don't understand this medrash tanchuma, because the pasuk says eish tamid tukar al mizbeach lo sichbe. How can you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to make the Mizbeach, Atzei Shittim, and to cover it over with a layer of Nechoshes in order to bring the Karbonos? What good and what function is this covering of Nechoshes? If there's a very high fire when the Atzei Maroch are burning on the Mizbeach, that fire is going to damage the Nechoshes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, according to the way Tosfos says it, Kach Darki, be Eish Shalmalo, Eish Ochlo, but Eino Mechala. There is an Eish that Ochlo, that consumes, but there's another Eish that's Eino Mechala. Kirechsiv Vasne Einenu Ukal. So this idea of the Nechoshes on the Mizbeach not being destroyed by the Eish and the heat of the fire is because that fire is coming min HaShamayim and has a different quality, it's a different entity. It doesn't destroy, it doesn't consume. And the raya to that, which is going to explain that Pasuk Yivayikra Eish Tamid Tukal Mizbeach Lo Sichbe, is the Sneh. That the Sneh is Eino Ukal. And why is that? Because that Eish that you're looking at that's burning the bush, that's an Eish min HaShamayim, milamala. And an Eish min HaLamala is Eino Mechala. And now let's read the Pesukim here with regard to the Sneh. Moshe sees this phenomenon. He sees a snare which is burning in a fire, but Eino Ukal, but it's not being consumed. So Moshe Rabbeinu assumes that this is a regular Eish. He doesn't know, he's never encountered a different kind of an Eish. And an Eish is Mechala, that's the law of physics. It destroys and it consumes. And therefore, what's going on here? My dualo yivar sneh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response was, I want to reveal to you a secret. We're not talking about a physical Eish that belongs and is governed by the laws of physics down here on earth. But rather, this Eish was not lit by man, by a human being. This was the Eish that came down milamala. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself in the sneh. because the darka shel esh milamala is that eino mechala. Hashem reveals himself in the snare, and the esh in the snare is an esh shel mala, and an esh shel mala is eino mechala. So therefore, the very same dibur that in the very same passage in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to Moshe Rabbeinu that we're talking here about a different kind of phenomenon. It's not an Eishel Mata, but an Eishel Mala. He immediately, God, warns Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Tikrov Halom, don't get too close. Because if you're going to come too close, Shema Teitzei Nafshecha, you'll die. In the same way that Nadav Aviu Bekarvasam Lifnei Hashem Vayamusa, they came too close and therefore they perished. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu understands this warning, Vayaster Moshe Panov Ki Yorei Me'abit Elokim, he puts on, so to speak, figuratively, the midah of Yira, of Pachad, Vayaster Moshe Panov Ki Yorei, he's afraid to look at God. Ah, that Yira is already going to keep everything in control, meaning it's going to hold on to that Ava. And it will inhibit the Ava in such a way that the Ava won't get too profound. You come too close to Hashem. In this case, the Eish that comes, the Eish of the Sneh that comes min Hashamayim Milamala. You come too close to that Eish, and it'll burn you. It's the unbridled Ava. So therefore, you need Vayaster Moshe Panav Ki Yorei Me'abit Elokim, the admixture, the influx of Yira. That variable of Yira has to come in to play this role. And perhaps we can come back and understand the Archaim on a higher and a more deeper level than when he says that both Bnei Aaron died b'misas neshika b'karvasam lifnei Hashem. That fits in very well with what we saw in the Gemara, that yatzu shnei chutim shel esh mikodshei kodoshim v'sarfum. Because these two chutim of esh, when they came out of the Kodesh Kodoshim, they represent, or they are, I guess you could say, the Or Hashem, the light of Hashem. He's Mashir Shechina in the Kodesh Kodoshim. And as a result, when they came too close to the Kodesh Kodoshim, because they wanted to achieve a Dveikus, so Yatsu Shnei Chutim Shel Eish, Shem Eish Shel Mala. These Chutim of Eish are the same kind of an Eish that came down to the Sneh. They're a divine Eish. And that divine Eish, you know, you can't get too close to it. Al Tikrov Halom, Hashem tells Moshe. And in the case of Nadav Aviu, it was Dovka Nifshmasam B'Yesh Zu. Their neshamas came so close of Dveikus with this Eish. And therefore, it was Parcha Nafsham Migufam. And if this be the case, then if you take a look in Reb Chaim Vital, who is the outstanding devotee of the Arizal, in the parsha of Mises Aaron on the day of Chanukah HaMishkan, he writes, Ki oso hayom hayorishon laredes hashchina ladur b'tachtonim. That very day was the first day in which God would come down to this world, this limited, finite world of mortal beings. This was the day of Yeridas Hashchina for the first time at Tachtonim, and us, and at that moment, when the sons of Aaron, Nadav Aviu, Niskarvu Elov, they came too close to the Shechina, and Al Yidei Aktoros Liskasher B'Shechina, they came up with different kinds of methods of getting so close to the Shechina, which is Lifnimi Beis HaParoches, and Choshvu, they thought, Lachsos B'Shechina Al Yidei Aktores. They, Nadav Aviu, with their Haktora of the on the Eish of the Mizbeach, they wanted to get a picture, so to speak, of the Shechina. They had a Dveikus of their Nefesh in the Shechina, which is called the Eish Ochla, and they died B'Neshika. That's what the Or HaChaim is saying about the death of Nadav Aviu. That's the secret here, and the deeper meaning of Ateitzei Eish. This is the Shechina, the Eish of Shechina, that comes with the Hashem. It's in the base Kodesh Kodoshim, and Vatochal also, and that consumed them. And that's what it means, Bekarvasam Lifnei Hashem. They came too close. They went into the base Kodesh Kadoshim. They came Niskarvo Ashchina. And when they came too close, they died Benishika like Sharat Tzadikim. And Sharat Tzadikim, they died because of Dveikus in Shechina. And perhaps other tzaddikim first die and then they get the kirva, the dveikus and tzaddikim. That's why I would like to suggest that there's a sequence here. And the sequence of Nadav Aviu here, the A and then B, is off base. They initiated this dveikus and shechina when they were alive. In other tzaddikim, the neshika means that Hashem comes to them, rather they come to Hashem. If they come to Hashem, in the case of Nadav Aviu, that initiative, that dveikus, crosses all the bounds, and that's the Mises Neshika. In the classic case of a tzaddik who dies a Mises Neshika, that means that Hashem comes to take his life, and then afterwards there's a dveikus in Shechina, or maybe it's simultaneous. But this is what Moshe says: Hu Asher Diber Hashem Bekrovai Kadesh. Because they are Krovai, they are the Miskarvim, and therefore there was a Kiddush as a result of their Hiskarvus. So it comes out that the Eshe Yotza Mikodesh HaKadoshim is the Shechina Kedosha of the Kodesh Kadoshim Vateitzei Esh, and this is a result of the fact that Bnei Aaron had too much of a Dveikus. There was Ava unbridled, without the mitigating Yira. And that's the Mora Shamayim that was lacking here, according to that opinion that they were Mora Horob, if they Rabam, they didn't have the Mora Rabcha Kemora Shamayim. Let's mention an insight here of the Aruch Laner. The concept here of the Eish that the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Beis records Machlokes with regard to Mises Bnei Aaron. Did the Eish that came down burn just the Neshama? And the Neshama was Porachas Me'aguf, but the Guf itself remained Shlemus in its entire intact? Or did the Eish burn even their Guf? So Rabbi Eliezer defines the Misa as Sreifas Neshama the Guf Kayam. Now, it's the Eish only controlled, so to speak, or burnt up the Neshama, which was Parcham in a Guf, but the Guf remained Kayam. And he derives this from the Pasuk Vayamusu Lifnei Hashem, Ke'ein Miso Shaneshama Mistalekes Vaguf Kayam. However, Rav Masna holds that even the Guf was Nisraf. And that's how he defines Vayamusu. The Aschel Behu, let's understand the language of Rav Masna here. The Aschel Behu Migavoy Ke'en Misa. Notice the Srefa began inside the body, and then Yotza Nishmosam Tchila Ke'en Misa. Afterwards, Nisraf, the body itself was burnt on the outside. So it started from the inside, it went on the outside. He brings a proof that it started on the inside, the Sanya. Abba Yossi ben Dostoy Omer, Shnei Chutim Shal Eish, Yotzu Mi Beis Kodesh Kadoshim, V'nechleku Li'arba, V'nechnesu Shnayim B'chotmo Shal Zeh, U'shnayim B'chotmo Shal Zeh. See, Aruch Laner, Rav Yaakov Etlinger, who lived about 150, almost 200 years ago, he asks from Tosus. Tosus says in the name of the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Kach Darki V'Eish Shalmala. In the language of the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Kach Darki V'Eish Shalmala, Eish Ochla, Eish V'Eina Machala, Kedeksiv Asneni Ukal. So again, according to the Shita, Rabbi Elazar, that the Misa of Bnei Aaron was a Sreifas Neshama B'Guf Kayom, it makes sense. It's an Eish Shalmala, and it's only going to remove the neshama, but it doesn't, burn the guf. But according to Rav Masna, that the Eish is Sarfa, this fire even burnt the guf, how is it possible that the Eish that left the Kodesh Kadoshim, which is an Eish Almala, Sarfa, even the Guf? It says, Eina Machala. That's the Medrash that Tosis quotes. So that's the Kasha of the Aruch Lanner.